Welcome to the Countdown Podcast. It's episode 354, and this is the shit, people. We are going to talk about the biggest pieces of shit. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. And what Wayne is alluding to is the worst 10 films of 2021. Welcome to the podcast. We count our movies, sometimes TV shows, in order of not today awesomeness, so you
crapness
don't have to. Look, yeah, today is the order of crapness. We are going from 10 to 1. The worst pieces of shit, as Wayne has said, that we sat through from films for last year.
Which offended you the most, yeah, basically.
Yeah, and why. So we're either going to help you sympathize, give you a bit of an outlet through us in terms of what you also suffered through.
Mm-hmm.
Or we may talk about films we help you steer well clear of, or we may really upset you.
Yes, you might go, that movie was great, you fuckers.
Poor fucker. Which I'm sure happens
more
often than we like to or care to
admit. Totally.
All right, well, that's it. Pretty straightforward, right? It's going to be a big one. This is usually one of the biggest shows of the year. In fact,
everyone likes to throw shade.
I was saying to Wayne earlier on that this show in 2020,
yeah,
we had more downloads for than we had for the best of the year, which will be next week's
because the crap on show was the more fun one.
Yes, basically, it's a case of
bitch, please.
Let's get stuck into it. All right, then, without any further ado, let's get into the segment which kicks off every show. It's called The Recount.
Who wants a recount?
Who?
Who wants a recount?
Who
wants a recount?
Who
wants a recount?
What happened this week, Paul?
Well, this week we got feedback on our episode Battle of the Toms with thanks to top-level patron Adam Malua for the idea. We pitted Tommy Lee Jones, Tom Hanks, and Tom Hardy against each other, and we crowned a winner.
The winner.
The winner for us was Tom Hanks.
Okay.
He is the top Tom forevermore, and we thank Tom Hardy and Tommy Lee Jones for their service to cinema and, you know, generally speaking, Hollywood.
Sure.
Some people agree with us, some people didn't.
Fair enough.
John D on Twitter said, "Gentlemen, the lack of Locke in everyone's list this week causes me great sadness."
Locke. What's Locke?
It's a Tom Hardy vehicle where he literally sits inside a vehicle for the entire film, having multiple phone calls as he drives from somewhere to London.
Oh, and have you seen it?
Yeah.
And?
Oh, look, it's fine, but it's like an acting, very impressive act, type thing, because it's literally just him and everyone else is just voices on the phone.
Oh, okay.
The whole film. So, an interesting idea. Obviously, John really enjoyed that one, but didn't crack my top 10 of all those others. Marie B, however, agreed with us in saying, "Hanks all the way." Whereas Matt Sales had hashtag Tom Hardy with the gif of him holding a little cute dog.
A lot of people like Tom Hardy.
Yes. Blockbusters podcast said, "As good as both the other two are, Tom Hanks is just objectively the best Tom. The man is a national treasure."
Yeah, I agree.
For a reason. I think it's what we find that hard to argue with. Liz from the Movie Reviews and 20 Qs podcast said, "You know I love Tom Hardy, but Tom Hanks has to be the winner on this on the day."
Damn right.
Hands down. I was stunned that Liz was betraying her Tom Hardy in that way. Ronnie Casole, however, said, "Tommy Lee Jones was always the best." So we have people all over the board.
Totally.
All over the board there. And that's all I want to say about week's show. I want to get straight into it then, because I feel the need to shit.
Okay.
On films. On the other side of this music cue.
Thank God for that.
The worst 10 films of 2021.
What?
I'm surprised that you resisted the temptation to do one.
I was thinking it over.
Here's the subject of this week's countdown. It's pretty straightforward. We're going by Australian release date. Let's get that out of the way with first up.
Oh, shit. I didn't double check all my shit. Oh, fuck. Well, one falls. No, I'm sure it's fine.
Well, we're meant to be going by Australian release date. Let's find out just how royally Wayne screwed the brief on this week's episode of the podcast. I'll lead off first
shall we? Go on, son.
I'm going to go with one that I think we actually covered on the show, or if we didn't, we talked about it in a top 10 last 10. This one is called The Little Things.
Oh, yeah. This is an honorable mention for me.
Yeah, directed by John Lee Hancock and starring Denzel, one of the finest actors living, really, of all time.
Sure.
Rami Malek and Jared Leto, and it basically follows a small town, deputy sheriff who gets involved in a murder investigation and along with Rami Malek, thinks it's the Jared Leto character. It's how they're trying to prove that while Jared Leto stays one step ahead of them. It is boring AF. It was written in the 90s, apparently around about the same time that Seven came out. So the studio sort of did not progress with it. thought enough time had passed. It hasn't. This film is a bullshit version of Seven. Denzel is as bad as he's been in any film.
Yeah.
He looks like he doesn't care.
I remember actually looking at it going, oh, he's getting a paycheck here.
Yep, he's just literally going through the motions. He's meant to be paying a guy who's kind of, you know, best of life has passed him by and he's made some mistakes and blah, blah, blah. Rami Malek is terrible in this movie. He's awfully cast.
Agreed.
I think Rami Malek is terrible in every film virtually.
All right, good. I wanted to bring this up with you, right? Rami Malek, I will tell you, he's
most
the worst
overrated actor.
He's the worst part of Bond, right? For sure.
Yep,
right? 100%.
But that's not really his fault as much as the character's terrible.
Yeah, but he was shit in it. I actually don't enjoy watching him unless he's Mr. Robot. I thought he was good as Mr. Robot because I didn't know.
I watched two episodes of that and tapped out.
Oh, really? Okay, so Mr. Robot, he's good because he's kind of a robot. I don't know. But in every other film... In the Queen movie, the...
Yeah, Bohemian Rhapsody was fine. Do he deserve to win Best Actor? No.
I did like his performance. So I'll say in two things I liked it. But everywhere else, he's shit.
I just think he's miscast.
He's miscast. He's got this odd face and it's like, yeah, but what are you trying... I still keep on thinking Mr. Robot. I don't know, man. But it's like, yeah, not for
you know
me.
You got a problem when Jared Leto is the best acting performance in a film.
Do you not think Jared Leto's a good actor?
I don't like him at all.
I thought his Joker was extremely good.
He's a notorious piece of shit.
I think he's a piece of shit. Yeah. But like, yeah, no, I've actually... okay, all right.
Jared Leto. This film is indeterminately long. There's a big problem. I think this is getting worse and worse the further we go. This film's 128 minutes.
Yeah.
Did not need to be. No. I'm constantly stunned by how long films are.
If you're going to be a piece of shit, do it in 90 minutes.
Exactly. So, yeah, this one is terrible. And it disappeared. I think it maybe blipped into cinemas and disappeared again very quickly. And people said, oh, COVID. No, it's not COVID. It was shit.
It was shit. It was definitely shit. I remember that.
All right.
Good call. Good call. Now, my number 10 is fucking F9. Fuck it. It's F9. All right? It's a piece of shit, right?
We should probably say this at this particular point. I saw some 247 films in 2021. You've seen considerably less than
I've seen three.
Not amazing then that you managed to come up with 10
for
this list.
I mean, I aimed at a couple, right? I sat there going, well, I heard this one was shit, so I went and watched that. You know,
let me be clear. 245 is not 2021 films. That would be considerably less. I'll look at that while you tell us about why F9 was so shit.
Okay. Everyone, as you may have guessed, this fucking film's about family, right? And it's
2021 was about family, according to cinema.
Oh, this whole... Yeah, exactly. But this whole thing has been about it. And it's about... This has got Dom fucking, you know, Toretto. Toretto! We flash back to... apparently he had a brother who's white. And then, like, fucking... like, now he's John Cena. And to be fair, I actually like John Cena in this film. And I think I actually like John Cena. I'm not sure yet. But, you know, he seems to be doing a lot of things I like. I mean, I could tell you the plot, but who really cares? All you really know about this...
They go to space.
They go to fucking space in a fucking car, and it's like, I don't need oxygen when I got family. And of course it's whipping up. But I said this when I did the review. I said, maybe it took 9 movies to whip me into shape and go, you know what? I've been browbeaten like a platonic friend who had to... got forced into marrying his female friend. Like, she turned 43.
And so, have I done to do this bullshit?
I've heard of this happening. Now I'm looking at the 9th movie and I'm like, you know what? Maybe I just get it now, or I care less enough about it. And I'll go with it. I'm like, oh, I'm going to like... Nah, shit. It was shit. About halfway through, I'm like, nah, this is shit. This is really, really crap. And it's actually now starting to annoy me.
Yeah.
Is there a Fast 10 coming, Paul?
Yes. In fact, they're filming 2 films back to back to finish the Fast
Oh, there's
saga.
An 11?
And Vin Diesel went... online, like through Instagram, and said and sort of tagged in The Rock, said, come on, man, you got to come back and help us finish this series in the right way. You know, you got to do it for family, for Paul Walker.
For family. Is that inciting Paul Walker?
Yeah. And The Rock took a while to respond, a couple of weeks, give or take. And then he's just like, this shows you the kind of man that Vin Diesel is basically, you know, calling upon Paul Walker's ghost to effectively get me to do something. It's manipulative and I'm not doing it.
Holy shit.
He said it nicer than that, but that's what it boils down to be.
Fuck him. They must really hate each other.
Uh-huh.
They must really fucking hate each other. Wow. Shit, eh? That's interesting.
So, okay. Yeah, I agree with you insofar as this was a bad film and not as enjoyable. I kind of had a good time with 7 and 8. I was there for it. I guess I was in that right place that you're talking about where you're prepared to accept that level of bullshit. The Rock deflecting a fucking torpedo in number 8.
I forgot about that and now you reminded me.
Makes me laugh so hard. Yet, what's his name? Having 15 guys firing machine guns at him and he manages to kill them all and get out of there unscathed.
Oh, God.
Annoyed the shit out of me.
That's why at that stage I just went, well, now you don't care anymore. Now you don't care about me, the viewer.
Know, the the rope bridge giving way and them
and the car fucking swinging. Yeah. I mean, and yeah. The only good thing about that was that happened really early in the movie.
Yeah,
I thought it was the climax. It was in the fucking trailer, but like, it's like, oh, so this is where we're starting. We're starting at that.
Another. Well, look, I guess what you're saying, Wayne, is if we're still doing a show and there's a 10th film, would you?
I think I'd rather eat some piss. I will see it, Paul, because it's.
Because piss isn't that tasty.
Yes, and also family.
all right, so I got the answer there. I saw 114 2021 films this year. So that's where I'm picking from. So my list is likely a little bit wider in terms of what I'm kind of covering. That said, I reckon this is one you will not have seen, Wayne, and nor should you. I have this fascination for shark films. I don't know what it is. I tend to put myself through just about all of them. Most of them are turds.
Yes, you do.
The occasional one is obviously Jaws being one of the greatest films of all time, and then The Shallows from not that long ago being pretty damn good as well.
Mm.
Great White, however, an Australian film.
Uh-oh. I don't know why, but it seems bad.
Directed by Martin Wilson from last year is...
what?
So bad.
Why?
Basically follows four characters. Do you remember Tucker and Dale vs. Evil?
Yes.
The woman from that... is the star of this film, Katrina Bowman? Bowden? Katrina...
Yeah.
And so she's an American who's married to an Aussie dude, and they take a rich kind of Eurasian couple on this sort of scenic flight with their failing business and whatever else, and then they spot someone's boat who's wrecked off a little island, and they go down there, and then the cold opening is these two people basically being eaten by a shark.
Oh.
And so they find the bodies... And before they can sort of get out of there, the shark attacks them, and now they're stranded. And
okay. No, look. I mean, this could
the seaplane and get into their boat thingamajig, and they're it's annoying, shitty acting, sniping at each other while this really badly rendered CG shark occasionally.
Oh, is that what it
attacks
is?
Them, and whittles the cast away.
What would you estimate the budget of this film to be? Is it indie? Obviously, I'm guessing it's indie.
Yeah, I don't know what production company made it, but. Here's my summary statement of this film.
Yeah.
The shark roars
what?
Like the shark in Jaws the Revenge did once. In this film, the shark roars at least three times. It roars.
Like it goes roar.
Yeah.
Can they do that?
No.
I didn't think so.
No.
Once you make
So they didn't do it once. They triple down on this fucking ridiculous moment. I'm just like, oh my God, who fucking approved this piece of shit?
Yeah, I think once you make fishes scream, your show's in trouble.
It's so terrible. Look, this is one of those so bad it's almost good films,
but
unlike The Little Things. And at least it has the good grace to be 91 minutes.
Yeah.
But it is terrible. It is rat shit. There's an even worse looking one coming out with Alicia Silverstone.
Which you will no doubt watch.
I'll probably watch. I'll probably be talking about it again a year from now. The worst of 2022.
Right. Bad Girl Shark.
Yeah. There we go.
All right. My number nine is a film which had Liam Neeson's cock in it. And it's... And Liam Neeson as well. It's called The Ice Road, y'all.
Oh,
The Ice Road.
I've seen a worse one than that.
How?
From Liam Neeson's cock.
Really?
Yeah, it's What's also starring Liam now? Neeson.
What's it called?
The Marksman.
Oh, really? From the title, I would have thought that would be automatically cooler than The Ice Flaps.
The Ice Flaps had the... decency to be so fucking stupid, which we also reviewed. I think we had a bonus episode out at one point about
it. Yeah,
I'll let you talk about it. The Marksman is so rote by numbers, where Liam Neeson looks so old and incapable of doing anything remotely physical. It's sad. It is really sad.
And how's this cock? Sorry, no, but like, okay, but like, oh wow.
Yeah. So not to shit on your choice, because this is a terrible film and totally deserves to be on this
list. But like that sounds interesting. I'll probably see it just for that. This movie follows a team of truck drivers on a dangerous-ass mission over frozen lakes on winter roads to deliver this crucial component to save workers trapped in a collapsed mine, okay? And Liam Neeson is the truck driver, head guy, dude, whatever, one of them, right? And first of all, I don't know. I'm sure this is real, but they actually just, in the winter, they just drive over the ice. Like, that's what they do. Apparently, it's so thick you can just do that, but some people call this a suicide mission.
Right.
So this particular fucking driver...
I know something about you need to keep moving, otherwise...
And yeah, the physics of this weird, right?
It's just, and I don't understand enough about it to be critical of that.
I don't either, but, like, they don't... They travel pretty close to each other. Like, if you're trying to disperse your fucking surface area, you wouldn't just do... Anyway, who knows, all right? The movie is just ridiculous. At one stage, it becomes, like, what is this... Like, for example, when a rig tips over on its side. Apparently, it's no problem to just get it back on its feet again and drive away. They just
with the aid of a couple of handy pulleys.
Dude, they're just like, oh, let's get these back on the wheel. I'm like, what the fuck? This is a helicopter job, motherfucker. You can't just tip them back up. But that happens, and the final act just drags. It is horrendous. The ice only cracks under the part of the truck that would allow the plot to progress. Like, it's not like it's real. It's just another piece of shit. Like, fucking Liam Neeson's just playing it out now. He's like, he's got to retire.
Enough.
He's feathering the nest. He's like, you know what?
Stop doing action thrillers. Just go and do dramas like every other normal person your age.
I reckon that's all the people are offering. The highest prices are going to the action thrillers. Like, if it was like,
do you think there was any high price attached to this fucking film? The budget. Look, maybe it all went to Liam Neeson and his cock.
They totally
ignored. Maybe he gets two payments. He gets one, and his cock gets the other, and therefore the CG suffers because Jesus, was the CG bad in this movie?
I know, they should have just filmed his cock.
Could have been called the Great White.
See, that's the shit, right? I think that's what it is. If Liam Neeson wasn't in this movie, do you think I'd have fucking seen it?
No.
Fuck no. So I reckon this motherfucker gets a shit ton of money for this bullshit. It's like, well, it's the only way it's going to fly is if Liam Neeson's cock's in it. So that's it. Oh, I'm glad the cock thing went in there. Fantastic.
That's what she
said. That's what she said. Okay, good. Well done. All right. Go ahead, Paul, with your number what, 8?
My number eight is the first, but not the last, of the kids' films on my list.
Oh, shit. Oh, you saw those.
You knew this was going to be... Look, I've got a daughter of...
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You will see those.
And when you think, oh, we're doing a live action adaptation of Tom and Jerry, but we're going to keep Tom and Jerry as cartoons and certain other characters in there as cartoons interacting with, you know, Chloe Grace Moretz and Michael Pena.
Oh, so really?
They're the two main actors in this film. It's a stupid story where Chloe Grace Moretz sort of fakes her way into this role as this sort of hotel manager.
Oh, it's set in a hotel?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And with the wedding of the year with probably influencers and whatever is about to happen. And she's trying to keep them all happy. Michael Pena is kind of another manager who's doubtful of her and suspicious and is not funny at all.
Mm.
Why cast Michael Pena if you're not going to ask him to be funny?
Exactly.
The comedy instead relies upon Tom and Jerry, who also get into this sort of hotel. And, of course, Tom's trying to catch Jerry and Jerry's making a fool of him. And eventually, Chloe Grace Moretz's character sort of recruits Tom to get Jerry out of the hotel.
Okay.
And hijinks ensue.
Are they talking?
No, they don't talk. Obviously, Chloe Grace Moretz and whatever.
No, at least, because if they do that, it's like, there was a Tom and Jerry where they talked and it was weird.
No, they don't. It's just so bad. It's so puerile. It's aimed at 5-year-olds. I know it's not aimed at me. It's not really.
Question.
It's aimed at probably kids my daughter's age and a little bit older, but they also want people used to watch this cartoon when they were young.
No. All the best animated features are good for the parents,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and this is not. It is terrible.
Yeah. Inside Out, for example, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, you compare something like Inside Out with its, you know, complex ideas and concepts versus this film, and I'm just like,
Did you take it to the cinema to do it?
No, we thank God. It came out to stream at the same time as it came out. The movie was one of those films. It's terrible. It's garbage. It fucking sucks.
Tom and Jerry. Tom and Jerry. I used to like those cartoons as a kid, so, you know.
Yeah, I was never going to.
All right. My number 8, everyone, is a film called Infinite.
Oh, yeah. Another one we reviewed on the show. Yes. You can go back and check this one out,
That's
too.
That's right. Mark Wahlberg, okay? He's at it again. Now, here's the thing, everyone. I do believe this. Mark Wahlberg only makes good movies or fucking horseshit movies. He doesn't make any in between. So, like, for instance, like All the Money in the World.
Happening.
That's a piece of shit.
Yep.
All the Money in the World, fantastic. You know? I think it's a really good film.
3 stars.
I actually like The Italian Job too. But anyway.
Nope.
I love The Italian Job. All right. So everyone, this film is about, there are a few humans on Earth who can recall all of their past lives. I fully thought you were going to do what now?
Well, damn it. I was going to come back to that later.
That's right, bitch. Okay. Yes. Anyway. So these people, their recall allows the reincarnated people to be master warriors and brilliant strategists because they can fucking remember all the lives they've had. So now these are motherfuckers who've been training for like two centuries, well, whatever.
Yeah, thousands of years.
Right?
All the capacity. Yep,
all that shit.
Inbuilt into their muscle memory.
Right. So they're all the bomb. So Marky Mark is one of these dudes and he's like a middle-aged outcast and he struggles to find work because of the voices in his head. Yeah, he's an infinite. And that's what the story is about. Okay. What I will tell you is that the only good thing about this film is that Marky Mark's character has like real relatable struggles, like needing to get a job and mental health stuff and stuff like that. And it's interesting that this is like, you know, this person who is so special is in fact treated as an outcast because of all those things. That's it. There is no fucking character development for anyone else. There's no, there's like this like self-harmed schizophrenia history of assault peppered in as a shortcut to a harrowing kind of backstory. But he's okay at playing the tough guy, but he's shit at being vulnerable. So that's why this movie is...
Whoa, hang on.
What?
There no. It is. There it is. Glad you... I knew you were going to do it anyway. I fucking knew you were going to do it anyway. So there you are. And of course, when I saw this movie, I'm sitting there going, yeah, this is pointless. This is shit. I hate it. End of the movie. Who directed this again? Antoine Fuqua. Of course it was a piece of shit.
Whoa. Hold on.
Would have liked it more had I known. Of course it's a piece of shit.
Can't defend this one. It's no Magnificent Seven remake, that's for sure.
Great.
All right, my number seven is just a bad idea. Okay, so here's what happens in Hollywood. They have an existing franchise of films, and they get a script, and they go, this script could be okay, but what if we just make some changes and make it part of this franchise?
Yep, right?
Even though it has virtually no DNA nor a relationship to that original franchise. And what I'm talking about here is Paranormal Activity, Next of Kin.
Oh, God. Oh, fuck. All right, well, what's this shit?
This is Blumhouse shitting all over what might have been a mildly interesting, okay, independent script. The Paranormal Activity series, basically, Wayne, I think you've maybe seen the first one.
I know, I haven't seen any of them. Okay. But I know it's the...
They follow locked-off cameras set up by people who are filming stuff that happens while they're out or they're asleep.
Yep.
That's the whole premise of Paranormal Activity.
Right. That I understand.
That's the DNA. And is it the scary shit that happens when you're not around to see it, rather than the scary shit that happens to you when you are, if that makes any shit, right?
Yep.
Any sense.
It does make some shit.
Shit is a big word today, if you haven't noticed.
And cock.
This film follows a woman who's been contacted by or somehow linked up with someone from the Amish community, and that she turns out to be a long-lost sort of relative of these people. So she gets a boyfriend who's an amateur filmographer, and they hire a sound guy, and off they go to Amish village and wherever the fuck it is.
Wait a minute. So is the original Paranormal Activity, all I've ever seen is the screenshots from the cameras, and that's the whole movie? So is there actually B-roll where you show people, is there plot where they walk around and set up the cameras or you see things?
So that just changes to be a found footage movie.
Okay.
Basically.
Oh, so this is a found footage movie.
Well, so are the Paranormal Activity films. Okay. Arguably, they're spliced together and whatever else, but they've just really added in.
But there's no treatment or whatever where it's not shot like a movie.
No, it's not shot like a movie. It's all from that first person, so to speak, perspective. And there's nothing. There's no relationship whatsoever to the previous Paranormal Activity films.
So not even the... No. Only the camera.
Other than the fact that there's paranormal activity in this film, because ultimately it turns out there's a reason that they want her back there. Oh my God.
You know, there are only scant examples of films or franchises which went in a different direction and it worked. Like, you know what I mean? That's why Fast and Furious is always shit. That's the theme. It's shit.
Yeah.
Right? So, look, I was never going to watch this one anyway.
No, absolutely. Please do not. The only redeeming feature is the lead actress who plays the relatives in Broadway, Emily Bader. It's pretty good, I think, in an otherwise thankless film. This film just goes in directions which are completely and utterly shit. It's horrendously predictable. Nothing about it is good nor redeemable. Even the ending sucks. And they add on this fucking coda ending, which implies that there's more to come. Please, God, no. Stop, Blumhouse. Stop fucking torturing us with this kind of shit.
When's the last time you saw a movie end in a way that wasn't slightly ambiguous, at least? They always got to do that, you know, in case there's a fucking sequel. Yeah,
exactly. I know. I get it. Understand the business sense of it. Mm-hmm. It fucking infuriates me how bad this movie is.
Yeah, fair enough. You'll get no argument from me, old man. My number seven, everyone, was a true piece of shit that we saw quite recently, and it's called Venom, Let There Be Carnage.
Yep.
No. Really hated it that much.
No, Wayne. No.
Yeah, that's exactly how he sounds. It is actually kind of close. Okay, everyone, this is a sloppy sequel to the original Venom, which is probably one of the lousiest movies in the Marvel canon. It's Sony, isn't it? It's Sony, technically.
Sony, yeah.
Yeah.
Tom Hardy. As we are now aware, they do link up.
Yes, exactly. So they're a little bit the same. Yep. But Hardy, he's the symbiote infected Eddie Brock who is basically co-inhabited by this Venom thing. And it's kind of a buddy cop film almost because these two are bantering off each other. Unfunnily. And Venom's being too funny. I said this in my review. I was
trying to
be funny. Yeah, but he's like, hur, hur, hur. I'm like, what's? And the voice is weird. Hur, 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 Eddie. He's like, he's doing that. And I know it's Tom Hardy's voice.
Did I break your nose, Eddie?
That's right. Who fucked it, Eddie? What's
so
the
I
hell?
Can break it again.
Look at me take a dump. Anyway, it's those kinds of things. And the bad guy in it, or as it were, is Woody Harrelson sucking.
Oh my
as
God,
Carnage.
Does he
just
suck?
Sucking? And it's hard to make Woody Harrelson suck, man.
He's awesome.
Yeah,
normally. Normally. Not here.
this is the thing. You know, Now You See Me, yep. Those two movies, right? He was shit in those as well, but because it was just a shit movie.
Yeah, the greatest thing about Venom, colon, Let There Be Carnage, is Woody Harrelson's fucking hairpiece.
Yeah, and it's all...
It is so bad.
I mean, it's supposed to look freaky, but it looks weird, and it's like... Although, if you look at the original Batman 89, Michael Keaton's real hair looks fucking weird.
Okay, well, yeah, that's 89, this is 2021. Michelle Williams is completely wasted. She's an Academy Award nominee level actress. She's god-awful here. And Amy Harris is fucking wasted.
See, that's the...
In
that's,
her role, too.
That's right. The, Michelle Williams, that's what's called, damn it, I signed a two-picture deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going on there. But yes, it's all very weird, yet not half weird enough. It actually leaves nothing for you, for me anyway. I was sitting there going, this is crap. And the post-credit scene sort of morphs into, oh, this he's now in the Spider-Man Tom Holland universe.
Well, the MCU, therefore.
MCU, right? And then it's alluded to in the other thing, and I'm like, you know what?
Don't talk about that.
I know. No. But nothing you can do, Marvel or Sony, will make me give a shit about this character.
No,
I'm just going to give a fuck. Fucking terrible. I could not give a crap. So,
yep, 100% with you. It's a CGI schlock fest. It's directed by Andy Serkis, who has directed some other stuff before. He's just been handed a thankless job here. It's garbage.
But it makes so much money, man.
Yeah, like it keeps because people love Spider-Man and all its fucking offshoots, his offshoots, so much.
You think?
Yes. Spider-Man, I think, might be the most beloved superhero, at least in terms of box office dollars. I think.
Oh, yeah. He's the guy who started it all. Sam Raimi.
More than Batman, more than Superman. Yeah, this is the one that makes all the money.
Fuck, no wonder the Sony people are like, you will get this over my cold, dead fucking body. Like, I'm going to make a sweet deal with you with like 10 pictures.
Yep. I think the only one who has any chance of getting close is Black Panther. And then, of course, we've lost T'Challa, so.
Yeah, I got real concerns about that Wakanda movie.
I don't know. I'm like, I don't know how it's going to work. But that doesn't sound discussion for another time. Maybe most anticipated 2022.
Yes. By the way, Carnage can hack computers in this movie with his fucking tendrils. It's just stupid. Yeah. It's stupid. So anyway, there you are.
What's called convenient plot device.
Such shit. Yeah. Such shit.
All right, I'm going to make a late change here and switch around a couple. This is the second film which I mentioned on the worst and top horror films of 2021 bonus episode, which is dropping about the time that we're recording, Wayne, with Drew from the Real Feels podcast. Thank you, Drew, for coming on again. And I mentioned this film then, and I'm mentioning it again now. My sixth worst film of 2021 is one that is a bit of a critical darling. It's a horror film.
I thought you said it was a critical darling.
from director Ben Wheatley, who's done some good stuff and some absolute fucking trash. And it's called In the Earth.
Tell me all about In the Earth.
Oh, God, this movie sucks. It's 107 brutal minutes long. And here's the... it's obviously a pandemic film, right? And it was shot like over 2 weeks during the pandemic. So there's very few actors. It's very isolated. They've clearly shot it on a shoestring. Stars are Joel Fry, who was you'd recognize if you saw him, and then other people who you probably wouldn't, including me. As a deadly virus ravages the world, Dr. Martin Lowry embarks on a mission to reach test site ATU-327A, a research hub deep in the arboreal forest. The arduous journey, guided by Park Scout Alma, is set back by a nighttime attack that leaves the two bruised and shoeless.
And shoeless.
Yep. When they run into Zach, a man living off the grid, they gratefully accept his help. Zach's intentions aren't exactly what they seem, however, and a path out of the forest into safety quickly fades as the line between myth and science blurs.
So this, to me, sounds like Three Cunts in a Forest.
Basically.
Is it? Okay, all right.
eventually, we get all the way to Four Cunts in a Forest.
Ah, Four Cunts.
Yep. And it's just this gobbledygook hodgepodge of kind of like... The earth is fighting back and plants can talk to us.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Not quite the happening levels, but psychedelic kind of visions. And oh, my God. It's so painful I can almost not put it into words. What really astounds me, though, is that because it's Ben Wheatley and because it's a bit pretentious and a bit stuck up his own ass, critics lap it up. Oh, great horror film. One of the best of the year.
Don't you think that is an amazing feat?
I do.
To be able to – because critics are – no one's looking to fucking – pump you up. They're looking to shit on you because that's what critics do, right? Generally, unless they're really impressed. But then these people who are actually kind of crap somehow get an inside track like their cousin used to bone that critic's fucking mimo. I don't know. Someone decides to treat them well.
Good street cred. The biggest one you might have seen, Free Fire. I think we might have covered that at some point, which had,
Noted
Cannibal Army.
That's right, Free Fire. I did not mind it from memory.
With Brie Larson
as well. That's right.
And he did Kill This, which is his biggest film, which is an absolute... horror darling, basically. So I don't get why he gets like Oh, I didn't mind Kill This, but people were raving about it. And even that one, I'm like, oh, it's 3 stars. It's fine.
Is this one like boring?
Oh, my God. Like, this is, I think I might have fallen asleep 4 times watching this movie.
Okay. Yeah.
And kept going back going, oh, what am I doing to myself? This is what I'm doing. I'm creating content for the worst of the year's shows. That's what I remind myself at the time. And here we are, number 6, In the Earth.
Okay. Well, that's the same ideology I used when you made me watch this film. Halloween Kills.
Yeah, deservedly, I get it. Again, I've seen way worse films than this, but I get it. It's fucking awful.
It's like, it just smacks so much of like, yep, we got to do this. So this, the plot of this one is that it takes place right after the other one, where they burn they supposedly kill Michael Myers by burning the house that he's
evil
locked in.
Evil dies tonight.
That's right. All that shit. So as they get away, like Jamie Lee Curtis is hurt a bit, like from the encounter from the last movie.
Badly hurt.
As a result, yep. She has like 3 lines or 3 minutes in this fucking movie.
Spends
she's
the entire time
in
a hospital bed.
So what do they do to actually go? All right, well, how do we pump up this and make sure that Jamie Lee gets her full rack with like only 3 days of work? They make the town folk, or the villagers, as I call them, get all like uppity about Michael Myers has to die tonight. Right? And then they're like, okay, so they all rally and they get guns and big knives and all that sort of shit. And they're trying to go after him, yet the prick won't die. And also, you know, the daughter of Jamie Curtis is there and she's among things. There's no little clean lead. We got, what's his name from the fucking Breakfast Club? What's his name?
Anthony McCall. Anthony McCall.
Yeah. He's sort of one of the leaders of the fucking...
He's
the villagers'
Tommy,
leader.
He plays a character from the very first film.
They retrofit that part of it. So that would all be interesting if... Okay, look, let's face it. I don't care about horror movies. I'm never going to like this one. But this one really sucked. The one before wasn't bad.
The one before was really... I will stand by this. The first Halloween film, good film. Good slasher film. If you like that kind of movie, it's well made. It's well shot. It sets up characters. I love the multi-generational sort of fight back against Michael. This film basically shows that Michael doesn't give 2 shits about Jamie Lee Curtis, the Strodes.
Yes.
So they completely rewrite that particular element, and he's just out to kill whoever the fuck he can, whenever he can. The only thing that saves this film from this list for me is some of the kills are particularly inventive and vicious.
Like the car door?
Yes, car door. and the way Michael gets really seemingly pissed off at the fact that he's almost burnt to death and he's just taking it out on this particular town. Everything else, the lynch mob, the fucking scenes with his daughter, Jamie Lee Curtis's daughter, in the hospital trying to save this other person they mistakenly think is Michael Myers, even though he's half the fucking size and looks like he has all the physical prowess of a bent over old man with a walking cane. They think he can kill dozens of people. None of it makes any sense.
In
the end, which I won't completely spoil, completely shits on everything they've been saying so far. It is a god-awful film.
You know, what actually actively annoys me is watching this fucking prick walk around in his overalls and mask, and then all this shit happens to him, and it's just impervious, but he's not impervious. And you were saying to me that, like, the understanding behind this film is that he's like a normal man, but for some reason he can do more shit.
Yeah, he might not have the pain threshold or pain sensors that the rest of us have,
but then
he's a man.
But
and
it's
then,
been fucking like 50 years or whatever, right?
Clearly, the end of this film, I guess I don't want to go into it. Don't want to spoil any more than this, but it clearly shows that, no, really, he's not.
There's some supernatural element to him or something. But it's annoying just watching him getting shot and not give a fuck. It's like, fuck off. If we can't kill you, then this is it's like when you're playing a video game. It's too hard. It's shit. You just give up. So yeah,
I agree. I fucking 100%
Halloween creeps.
All right, my number 5, as we get into the worst of the worst now, comes from another film with a colon in the title. It's one that I took my daughter to see when we were a little bored at one particular point, and even she walked out of this film as an 8-year-old child saying, that wasn't very good, was it?
Oh, well, that's, you know, what are you going to do?
It's 115 minutes long, so big other not strike against it, and it stars LeBron James. It's Space Jam, A New Legacy. Oh, my God.
I thought about watching this just to see if it would get my list, and it probably would, but then I knew you'd talk about it. Hit me with Space Jam. Is it 2 or just Space Jam?
It's Space Jam, A New Legacy. So now we're following, instead of Michael Jordan, we're following the biggest star in the NBA in the last 10 years, LeBron James, and he's a bit of a hard taskmaster as a father. One of his sons doesn't really want to get involved in basketball, wants to get involved in gaming. And LeBron's giving him a hard time about it. The two of them get sucked into this Warner Brothers supercomputer who's played by Don Cheadle.
Oh, really?
And his name is Algorithm.
Okay.
As in algorithm.
Oh, all right, fine. That's fine. Yeah. That's fine.
And he decides to pit his computer-generated fucking characters versus LeBron and... You know, the boy crew.
Well?
No.
Oh, just
the boy goes to his side and plays against his dad because he's wooed over by the dark side type thing.
That was unexpected.
Building to a big, ridiculous, like the first film,
basketball
game.
Did you watch the first film?
Yeah, but not a long time, but a long time. Yeah.
Okay, let me tell you something, right? Yep. I remember the buzz over the first film. People, there was in the Burswood, this big area fucking that we have here in Perth.
Right.
There was an advanced screening and only ritzy motherfuckers got invited to go wow. see it, right? That's how big that was. And this is like, yeah, it streamed on my anus.
It did go to the cinema. And okay. I did make a fair degree of coin,
did it
too.
Right? Okay,
I
there you go.
Don't Maybe think I'm it just killed, out of the but it, yeah, but it's... The only good thing about it is obviously they have updated the graphics and now when they do play basketball they become 3D rendered animations. The cartoons are like bugs and all that.
Oh, really?
It looks pretty good.
Does it look cool? Yeah, okay.
But it's just this soulless fucking attempt to, you know, people shat on Ready Player One because it was just, you know, stuffing in all this IP from other.
I loved that, but like, I know.
This film does the same thing to the point we've got fucking Pennywise in the crowd because it's a Warner Brothers.
See, here's the thing. I actually thought about watching this because when you told me that, I actually love cross-branding. Like, I'm a brand manager, everyone. And so when you actually use, when you've got a company that has so much IP and they can cram it in, this is why I like Free Guy. Because at the end, they just went, fuck it, Disney can use everything
you're
in you.
You're mocking me,
for
aren't
you? Fucking, you know, lightsabers, all that shit in a movie. And it's cool because you can't do it any other way, man. So when it happens, I usually like it. But
what if it smashes you in the face so hard it's just, and it adds nothing? At least you can argue that when it happened in Free Guy,
it meant something.
There was some relevance to proceedings.
Completely. Oh, I see what you mean. It's actually for its own sake. Yeah. See, that's what I'm intrigued at. If I watch it, is the branding going to fuck on me? Is it so poorly handled that even me, who's on its team, hates it? That's what I'm curious about.
Whereas, for me...
This sort of thing ain't my bag, baby.
Fair enough, and it is...
Yeah!
Even though it's a basketball film and Paul basketballs.
Yeah, well, Paul's a baller. Very disappointing. Really, really poorly made. Like I said, and not entertaining. And you want to put a two-hour kids film.
2 hours?
Or 115 minutes, near enough, up there. It needs to be entertained. It needs to offer something. It's not. It's snarky. It thinks it's better than it is. It's a terrible piece of shit. Space Jam, A New Legacy is my number five worst film.
Everyone crapped on this, didn't
they? 2021. Yeah, very, very much so.
Fair enough. Now, my number five film is a film that I had a lot of expectations for because James Bond is in it.
Ooh.
And yeah, Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, right. Not Daniel Craig.
No. And Tim Roth are the two big actors in this one. Oh, and Nick Cannon, if you want to go that way.
Okay.
The Misfits.
I almost put this on during the moment. I'm like, let's see. How bad is it?
No, I thought about it again. I'm like, fuck this.
I honestly got through 5 minutes of it and just about 7 months ago or 6 months ago when it came out.
Yeah.
Got through 5 minutes and went, yeah, probably not.
Because
you talked about
it
next top 10 last 10 and shat on it.
Dude, if you look at the trailer for this thing, I thought it looked awesome. I'm like, I'm going to fucking eat that up, right? Then I go see it. And it's like, it's a heist movie where Pierce Brosnan is sort of a gentleman thief that is very well versed in all this shit. And he joins this team of crackers, which is like, not crackers.
Well,
not crackers. Actually, Nick Cannon's in it. So. And what they are is they're do-gooding thieves. They go around the world and they fucking steal shit from cunts and then give that money to charity, right? Which frankly is a nice enough idea. I'm fine with that. It's played really weirdly comedically and not in a way that works. That Nick Cannon is doing a voiceover and he's doing this really like, he's overplaying the gangster street sort of thing. It sounds fake and it's like, oh, this is kind of weird.
Hot
and
damn!
Everyone's delivering one-liners in foreign accents and it's hard to understand what they're saying and none of it works. And the only thing good about it, it has really cool, lot exotic locations, which I'm guessing were on location.
Mm-hmm. And didn't Rennie Harlan direct this?
Yes! That's what it is. Rennie Harlan messed this thing up, man. So he's Cutthroat Islanding the fuck out of the movie. And this is what happens, man. Like, Kurt Wimmer, the Equilibrium guy.
He wrote this.
Wrote it.
Oh, well, there.
Again.
Yeah, but Kurt Wimmer also wrote and directed fucking Ultraviolet.
Yeah, no, I think he's the Antoine Fuqua of writers. He's got one in him. So, yes, horrible piece of shit. If you do see it, don't. Just back out.
If you do see it, don't.
Yes, just like stop.
Please. If you're listening to this right as you're about to hit play on Misfits,
yep.
Wayne has just
I've
saved
just
you.
Saved you 2 hours.
There you go.
Go have a spank and a nap.
Right. I'm going to volley straight back to you whilst you somehow jam in a fucking jerk off comment. My number four, here's where I had Venom, Let There Be Carnage.
Ah, yes, fair enough. Okay, now, you were talking about pandemic the films, weren't you there, Paul? Mm-hmm. Films that were seemingly made during the pandemic. I searched out one because, I'm sorry, someone in the listener community said this movie really, really blows. And I'm like, well, that's just what I'm looking for. It's an Ethan Hawke movie called Zeros and Ones.
Never even heard of it.
Dude.
Holy shit.
Dude, I've not come across this before, okay? Here's a movie that is shit, and then outside of the context of the movie, acknowledges its own shit in a way.
What?
Here's what happens, okay. Right? First of all, the plot is Ethan Hawke, it's not really known, right? But Ethan Hawke is some military guy. He gets called to Rome to stop an imminent terrorist bombing, and is a soldier that seeks, and he has a brother he's playing himself as his brother, who's right. in captivity, and he's being interrogated by the bad guys. Now, I'm not quite sure what the fuck is happening here, but the movie is made up of long shots of him walking through a city or like a dilapidated city at night. Like, the plot will be, I got to meet you here at 10 o'clock. And then for the next 7 minutes, it'll be shots of him walking.
What?
Yeah. And then he goes to the thing. And then there's this wish.
Is it directed by Jim Jarmusch?
It's directed by it's directed by Abel Ferreira.
Right.
Who is kind of a critical darling, right?
Yeah. Controversial director back in the day.
He's shit here. Let me tell you that. And it's all just kind of close-ups of a grainy green screen, and it's shots held too long, and the director never actually shows you what the threat is in the whole movie, right? It's not quite sure what the threat is, but it sort of seems to be a terrorist sort of like act.
Right.
And all through the movie, it's definitely a pandemic film because everyone's got masks, everyone's hand sanitizing, getting their temperature taken all the way through the film, right?
Right, okay.
So what is weird about this, right? Before the movie starts, there's just a shot of Ethan Hawke is taking a YouTube video of himself, and he's saying, like, hey, I'm working on this film now, and it's like I'm playing a military guy, and it's really cool, and I can't wait to do it. And it turns out, you find out at the end that was a video that Ethan Hawke had recorded to try and get funding for the movie, right?
Right.
The movie then goes on to make zero fucking sense, and at the end of the movie, Ethan Hawke comes up again. And he gets out, and he's in an apartment or whatever, and he sits down, and he goes, so I just watched Zeros and Ones, and that video that you saw at the beginning, that was me trying to get funds for the movie. And I gotta admit, he says this, he goes, I gotta admit, when Abel Ferreira gave me his script, I was reading it, and I didn't understand a word of it.
What?
And he says, that's exactly what he says. And he goes,
holy shit.
And he goes, but I did like it, so I didn't really know what movie he was going to make, and I wanted to find out. And what it amounts to is that he's stopping just short of saying, I'm sorry that was so weird, I don't fucking know what happened. He's sort of doing that. And then at the end of it, he goes, and this is part of the movie. And that's it, right? And he goes, wow. I know. So it's bizarre. It's bizarre, right?
I can only find one soundboard thing that fits this, but
what have I done to deserve this bullshit?
Dude. Is that what basically Ethan Hawke was saying?
Well, what happened? The thing is, like, you know how when we were so like Ghostbusters, there's that little clip at the beginning of Jason Reitman saying, hey, please don't spoil it, everyone. Yeah.
Same on No Way Home.
Yeah, but that won't appear in the DVD release of this fucking movie, right? That's not part of the movie. That's just something for the cinema.
I just can't believe.
This is a part of the movie. I saw it on demand, man. So that means it's part of the movie. His top and tail of fucking, I don't know what this is.
Wow.
I know. And if you watch the movie, it's horrendously shit, man. Every shot is held too long and it doesn't make any sense. And it kind of doesn't try to make any sense to you. It's just like, ugh, there's no story. There's no purpose.
Sounds awful.
Yeah. But like, again, I've never seen a movie actually do that. Obviously the director let it in because it's in the fucking film. He let him basically apologize for his shit film. Weird. Weird.
God. Right? Okay, that's bizarre.
Zeros and ones, everyone. And they misspell zeros. There's no E.
That's going to be on purpose, right?
No. It's Z-E-R-O-S and O-N-E-S. So there's not zero E-S. It's not... Anyway, that just bugged me as a guy.
Weird. Spelling bee champion of the world. All right. My number, three now?
Yep, three.
Is a film which David Powell, patron extraordinaire, Facebook listening community moderator, warned me off, and I did not listen, David, and I do apologize.
Oh, that's the game, bro.
My number three is Die in a Gunfight.
Boy, okay.
Directed by Colin Schifili, and the direction is the only thing to even remotely redeem this massive piece of shit take on Romeo versus Juliet again.
What?
In modern times, Mary and Ben are the star-crossed black sheep of two powerful families engaged in a centuries-long feud.
When's it set?
Contemporary.
Contemporary. Okay.
When the pair reignite a romance after many years apart, their forbidden love draws a motley assessment of schemers and killers into their orbit. And as fists and bullets fly, it becomes clear that violent delights will have violent ends.
All right. So now, obviously, since you tell me that, I'm going to compare it to Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet.
Which I'm not a fan of either.
But I do love that one.
But that film is competently made. And you come to care, at least you would if you gave a shit and didn't know how it ended. This film, oh my God, Ben, who's played by Diego Boneta,
mm-hmm.
who, what's he been in? Let me tell you. He's in a tiny bit of Terminator Salvation. No, Dark Shitty. Oh, he's in Monster Hunter, one of the soldiers that gets killed, I think.
Okay, a few here and there.
Yeah. No one of consequence, right? Because there's a voiceover. Billy Crudup's doing a narration.
Oh, okay. So you got actors here. Yep.
And Billy Crudup's basically saying, Ben's never won a fight in his life. He just has this capacity to get up every time he's been punched down. He gets beaten, wailed on through this entire film. Never wins a fight. He's got no... It's like, this is not an action film. It's not a thriller.
Is it a fighting film?
No, not really. But just every time he goes to stand up something, he just gets the shit kicked out of him. Again.
Okay. All right.
And yet somehow, Mary, who's played by, you know, your favorite, Alexander Daddario.
Oh, really?
Yep.
You did mention that.
She's totally into him. For some reason I can't fathom, nor the script really makes clear.
Which means
except
it's a bad
it pisses
script?
Off her dad.
That's sometimes enough. But yes, okay. And wait, let me ask you this. Are they doing Shakespearean, like...
No.
So it's just, it's rewritten.
Yeah.
It's rewritten.
Okay. It's just, that's the generic blueprint. Otherwise, it's got nothing to do with Romeo and Juliet. It's just that's the closest comparison
cool.
to...
No, I'm done with it. I mean, I don't mind updates of Shakespeare if it's done well, but...
These two characters have zero chemistry. These two actors have zero chemistry. The characters, you couldn't give a shit whether they're up together or not. We throw in, you know, someone else who really wants her because he's stalked her and he's kind of in the dad's favor, and then... A couple of Australian killers for hire who come into the... just this mess of a piece of shit.
There were no killers for hire. Yeah, okay.
It
right,
has
yeah.
zero... That's what I'm saying. It only borrows the two star-crossed lovers from feuding families.
Okay,
that's,
yeah,
so like, after that, it goes
That could
off.
Be West Side Story. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, can I ask you this? And I just have to ask you, because you mentioned Alexandra Daddario.
Mm-hmm.
Titty bonus?
No.
Okay, so fuck this film.
It is terrible. Okay. Like a couple of memorable shots, other than, you know, stylistic shots aside, awful.
Okay.
And it was meant to get a cinematic release, and they didn't even bother, even in the pandemic.
All right. Well, glad I missed that one.
Yeah.
Fantastic. My number three, folks, is Thunder Force.
I didn't watch this one.
Oh, my God.
Thank God.
Oh, my God. So, everyone, it's Melissa McCarthy, and it's about as good as you'd expect. It's
And who's the other one?
What's her name? Octavia Spencer.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Who is like, you know, it's Octavia Spencer, all right? It's fucking like...
She's got some acting chops.
She fucking does, right? Mm-hmm. I love The Shape of Water. Anyway, this is a... Okay, here's the synopsis. In a world terrorized by supervillains, one woman has developed the process to give superpowers to regular people. But when scientist Emily Stanton accidentally imbues her estranged best friend with incredible abilities, the two women must become the first superhero team. And they call themselves Thunder Force, and they are battling superpower miscreants and badass motherfuckers and save Chicago from the King, which is that dude from fucking Boardwalk Empire. Bobby Cannavale.
All right. Right.
Right. Okay.
Who's in every one of, for whatever reason, Michelle. Oh, sorry. What's her name? Why am I blanking on her name? Melissa McCarthy. Sorry.
Oh, they must be friends
they,
or something.
They are friends. They are, like, literally.
Yeah.
Seems to be
he used to be. He used to be Will's lover in Will and Grace. That's
He's
how
married
I know.
To Rose Byrne.
Is he?
Mm.
Oh, well, there you are. Okay. Well, everyone, this is the a movie with the occasionally funny pratfall. That's all I can say about it, okay? And by the way, they can cultivate any fucking superpower they want. Melissa McCarthy gets super strength. Octavia Spencer chooses invisibility. What? There are way better ones to do than that. You could also have, you know, anyway, it's just like, it's the first act is probably surprisingly not too bad, and then it just falls to complete shit. There's not even a proper way of analyzing, like, a screenplay like this. It's so overtly silly and shit. Isn't this done by Herb Husband? I think it was.
Yeah, he does direct a lot
the
of
the dude from,
shit.
Yeah, the air marshal from fucking Bridesmaid. Yeah, it's just horrendously, horrendously bad. I actually remember thinking to myself, yep, because it came out early in the year. I'm like, I bet you this is definitely on the list. Whatever happens, it's on the list.
Fair enough. Look, I'd been warned off by multiple podcasts. Maybe you talked about it on Top 10 Last 10 as well.
Yep.
So I just did not go through it with
no, don't.
Anyone just, here at the 10-foot pole.
No. I had to look it back up to remember what happened. How's
sure,
that?
It'll be on here. I'm going to read you through my number two, and I really war with whether this should be one or two. I really went back and forth on it.
Hmm.
But this one didn't surprise me, where I was held out hope for my number one as being an interesting, at least, film.
Go on.
This film stars Perry Reeves in a role, who is in Entourage, Jeremy Piven's character's wife.
Oh, yeah.
Why can't I remember his name?
Ari Gold, yep.
Yeah, Ari's wife. It's got...
She's hot.
Costas Mandalore.
Yeah.
Frank Grillo.
Oh.
And Bruce Willis.
Oh.
And it's called Cosmic Sin.
Okay, Paul, tell me about Cosmic Sin.
So basically, in this film, there's a war between humans and aliens, and General James Ford, i.e. Bruce Willis, gets called back into the fray, yet he is a bloke who once authorized the firing of some kind of huge weapon that killed a whole bunch of humans as well as the aliens, and so everybody hates him.
Oh.
Well, half people think he's a hero, half people hate him.
Sure.
He's this very highly contentious figure, and he has to go with this group to try and attack or remove the threat against humankind. So they get in these kind of mech suits and off they go to wherever this alien sort of thing is to try and...
Heavy CGI in this film?
Oh, heavy CGI, and it's terrible
for
the most part.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, they're being attacked. They go to this remote planet to sort of help out the people that are being attacked there. Now, there's another character in here by the name of Dash, who somehow, from vague memory, and I do have tried to block this out of my mind, manages to get all the way to the end of the film. You know, I won't spoil whether he lives or dies. Mm. And I kept thinking, this guy's a no one. We've killed off some name actors. And what they've done, they brought in Frank Gillo and he's done 20 minutes worth of the film. Okay, you know what right. I mean? They brought in Perry Reeves and 20 minutes. And Costas Mandalore, same thing. They're in quick and then they're out. They're killed or they disappear off.
So 3 days
screen.
On the set, yep.
This guy gets all the way to the end. I'm like, what the fuck? What is? He's terrible. He's not funny. He just keeps making these one-liners. This script is fucking shit. It's aggravating.
Does it not make
yeah,
you
he
sense?
Wrote the movie.
Oh, God. That's so shit. That's shit writing.
It is 1.1 on Letterboxd as a rating, which is astoundingly low.
Like, really?
Normally, you can't get a film below about 1.6 or 1.7. Like, if you think Bruce Willis hasn't tried in anything else, when he's in these shit-ass sci-fi fucking films, oh my God.
What's his rack these days? How much did he get paid? He's got to be a $20 million guy, right?
No way he gets paid $20 million. This film did not have a $20 million budget.
You're right. This is...
He probably got paid $1 million for this movie.
Yeah, he probably did, because it's like, hey...
And the budget was $5 million.
Oh, you have
or
to
10,
shoot
maybe.
For 10 days $1 million, you know what I mean? Like, that's a good... That's
probably
a good
little bit longer than that, but...
Whatever.
And that's all that drew me in was, and I'm done. I've stopped watching these fucking. This is the last one. This was the final fucking straw, Bruce Willis. I hope you're happy.
Yeah, I hope. Is he anything else coming out that anyone?
Oh, well, if he somehow pops up in a big budget, whatever, and he's an end or the 17th in the car, I'm not going to avoid it because of him.
No,
but I'm not watching any more of these starring Bruce Willis films straight to fucking video.
Would
on
you
demand.
Say him and Neeson are about there?
I'd much prefer Liam Neeson.
Okay.
At least Liam Neeson has some acting chops.
Yeah, yes.
At true. Least he seems to give a shit about his end product, whereas Bruce Willis is too cool for every fucking school. And that really shits me about him.
The name once again?
It's called Cosmic Sin.
All right, fantastic. Well, my number two film was sadly seen by some people. It's Wrath of Man.
Wow.
Wrath of Man is one
this
of the...
This is so high!
Oh, buddy, I fucking hate this shit. Let me tell you about Guy Ritchie, Paul.
I don't remember you hating this movie that much.
Hated it. I love most of Guy Ritchie's work. I think he's awesome. I think he's very versatile. I think he's a highly accomplished auteur, okay? But for some reason, every four or five films, he lays the most putrid fucking log you've ever seen, all right? It started with Revolver, then kind of swept away, and this is... And you might... Some people didn't like King Arthur.
Some people.
I didn't mind that one, but he shat this one out. This was the thing he did. It's like all of the good movies that he makes... They all produce one byproduct, a turd or something, and this and it's the fifth movie, right? This is so shit. Jason Statham's in it, of course. He plays Hill or H, an aloof, mysterious, tough guy. He starts working for an armored truck company, and that was recently hit with a heist, and it killed two of their drivers, and it becomes like, if it's really dangerous in this job, man. People are killing us all the time. And I'm like, okay. And there's a convoluted thing. Long story short, he surprises his co-workers when he unleashes this precision-ass skill set where he can bust a cap and kill 200 cunts with, like, one gun, right? And he takes, like, dramatic shit happening. Now, the film itself, the problem is, right, that it is so amateur-looking. There's this opening scene, which would be interesting, except it was shit. It's a one-shot from inside a van, and the van gets attacked, and the camera doesn't actually leave the van. All you see is you hear the shit going on outside.
Yep, which later on they come back to Rashomon style.
They do. Now, the dialogue in that scene is like, oh, hey, man, how's it going? Huh? You know, and it's so poorly acted. And these are by real actors that you know, right? And I'm like...
I'm stunned.
Dude, it's horrendous. I don't know if you've forgotten, but I hate this.
Two and a half stars. I don't remember you hating them. Oh, well, basically.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Well, it's just
this is worse than Venom?
Yes. Venom, I didn't expect anything from. This is Guy Ritchie, my guy. Remember, it's the expectations to kill you, Paul. All right? And this could have been good. I've seen good Guy Ritchie and Jason Statham films before.
Sure.
Lock, Stock, Baby, you know? Fucking Snatch, all of that shit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he talks about this, like, people say to him, like, how did that piece of shit Revolver get made? They don't say that, but that's what they say. And he'll say, hey, let me tell you something. Lock, Stock is easy to do. Revolver is hard to do. He actually has this thing in his head where he's got completely the wrong idea about art. And he has that idea every 5 years, all right? So that's what happened. This is a piece of shit, this film, honestly. I wonder if... maybe some people liked it out there. I'm not sure, but I fucking hate this film.
All right, wow. I mean, again, middle of the road for me. It was a little bit disappointing. I thought it was fine, but I didn't hate it. Holy shit.
I absolutely hated it.
You hate this like the way I hate Eight fucking... No, what was that movie called? Was it Eight Mile? Not Eight Mile. Whatever, the one with Marky Mark again. And the dude from The Raid. And they had to get him.
Oh, yeah. The one with they had the phones. And I remember. I know the one.
John fuck? Malkovich and shit in it. Was, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot the name.
So fucking shit. Anyway. All right. Wow. So here we are. Let's recap then the worst 10 films of the year. According to myself, The Little Things at 10, 9, Great White, 8, Tom and Jerry, 7, Paranormal Activity, : Next of Kin,
:
6, In the Earth, 5, Space Jam, : A New Legacy, 4, Venom, : Let There Be Carnage, 3, Diana Gunfight, 2, Cosmic Sin. And my number one, as much as I just shat on Bruce Willis, comes from another man who continues to make film after film, and yet this year he's released 3 films, as far as I'm aware, one of which many are lauding as being on the best 10 films of the year list. We'll see whether it makes mine next week.
What?
This film and his other film, the one that didn't make my list but comes in 11-12, Willy's Wonderland.
Oh.
I'm talking about Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, which one is it?
My number one film is called Prisoners of the Ghostland and can be best summarized like this.
A, B, C,
fuck
D,
you.
E, F, G,
fuck
H, off, God.
You know it.
A, L, can you
turn it
D,
off? No, turn it off, you imbecile motherfucker.
G, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. Huh?
You know who's worse than Nicolas Cage? You. Fuck you.
That was 14 seconds of what Nicolas
Paul
Cage
not understanding comedy, yeah.
is like in this 103-minute absolute piece of, I can't describe how bad this film is. It's directed by a Japanese director named Sion Sono, who has his whole fleet of fans who love him. He does this off-the-wall crazy shit, which, you know, maybe if I can have a look at his filmography, he can give you an idea. Anti-Porno is a film of his. Suicide Club is another one. Why Don't You Go Play in Hell is another again.
Okay,
so
okay.
He's very out there, even for a Japanese filmmaker, some really crazy ideas. And you combine him with one of the most out there Hollywood actors for his first English language film,
yeah,
and you think, all right, how's this going to go? And it basically follows this dystopian future on the frontier city of Samurai Town.
Samurai Town! Yeah.
A ruthless bank robber, i.e. Nicolas Cage, is sprung from jail by the wealthy overlord called the Governor to go and rescue his granddaughter from, or adopted granddaughter from out in the wastelands where she's disappeared and been taken prisoner, hence Prisoners of the Ghostland.
Okay.
That setup's fine.
Fine, I guess.
But imagine like Mad Max, like done with this ridiculous, over-the-top, silly sensibility where everything's like,
oh really? Oh, God.
I think they all burst into song at a particular point.
What?
In proceedings.
Oh, that's the fucking nail in the coffin for Paul.
Literally, to make him stay on task, they attach fucking bombs to every part of him, including his balls, and they blow off his balls at one point, yet he continues on.
Cage's balls?
Yep.
Holy shit.
And the governor has all these geisha girls, and it's like it's this creepy slavery kind of vibe. It's all played for kind of hot shits and giggles.
Really?
It is fucked.
So it's like a weird tone shitness?
Yeah. So like, and even some of the fans, and like, you read through some of the reviews. This one, some people do love. A lot of people give it a middle of the road, kind of 2.5 or 2 stars grading. But I was appalled at how bad this movie was.
Wow.
I'm often appalled, but this time I was appalled.
Okay, let's just call that a joke. Okay, Nicolas Cage, what's it called again?
Prisoners of the Ghostland. That, yeah, it's not funny. It's just soulless. It's sparkless. It wants to woo you into this absurdist world, but it's just fucking awful.
Let me ask you something. How's his hair in this film? Like, is it because Nicolas Cage has now lost the ability to have normal looking hair? Whatever the piece is, whatever they're putting on him, it just looks like a fucking bird. I'm not sure. So I don't know what he's doing in this film. But is it like straggly? Does it look weird? Does it look?
Yeah, I'm pretty. I can't remember what he looks like.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I've seen 3 of his films this year and I'm mixing them in my head.
Now, when I watch a Nicolas Cage film, I'm like,
sure,
what's his hair doing? Yeah, yeah. You know.
So. And this guy apparently is known for being like very high sexual perversion in his film and excessive gore. But even that doesn't really exist here. You know, yeah, they blow his balls off, not like their shoulder or anything like that. You know.
Yeah, okay. So sounds like a piece of shit. Did you see Pig?
Pig was the one I was talking about, which some people have on their best of the year list.
Ah, really?
Yep.
And it sucks, obviously, for you.
I didn't think it sucked. It's not on my list next week, don't get me wrong.
Good, good.
I just thought it was really average. Like, okay. I thought there was some good acting from Cage, and it was a quiet, contemplative film.
Winner.
But I was like, people are just wowed by the fact that Nicolas Cage isn't sucking. That's my honest take on Pig.
Nick. Okay. Right here. Well, that was your number one. My 10-1 is 10. F9. If it. 9. The Ice Road. 8. Infinite. 7. Venom. Let There Be Ass. 6. Halloween Sucks.
Yes, it did.
5. The Misfits. 4. Zeros and Ones. 3. Thunder Force. 2. Wrath of Man. And my number 1 was the biggest disappointment probably of not just this year, but several decades of my life. Yeah. Coming to America.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so yeah. Here it is. Okay, so again, I grew up on Coming to America, the first one, and it was not just an Eddie Murphy movie. It was one of his Eddie Murphy movies. It was one of the great ones, and I loved Eddie Murphy, and he was the most famous man in the world at the time, and I grew up on that kind of humor. I loved Delirious, all that sort of shit.
You might be able to tell.
Yeah.
So all of listen to the show beyond this episode.
So the idea that it would come back and that they got all the same people back for it, this seemingly two decades later, is that right? I don't know, right?
32 years later.
I guess I should have seen this coming, all right? Mm. But everything about this film, that it feels like it was shot in someone's house. It does not have any of the grandeur of the original one, where you've got this big spawning palace and then these women wake up and they're playing a band and that's how Hakeem wakes up. This looks like it's shot on a shitty soundstage, right? And I'm like, wait, is the palace now just got like those standard roofs that every house has? It's really, really, it looks shithouse, man.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Oh, man. Dodgy CGI and really close-up shots. It's not a vast movie. It's a shit movie. Mm. And it's like, and Morgan Freeman, En Vogue, Salt-N-Pepa, all these cameos, come on, should have been great. Somehow they weren't. It was shit. They're just hitting the same beats as the original, which can work, but doesn't. It's just really obvious. And I only just laughed out loud at the barbershop scene where he said something called flappy titty problem. He said something like that. That made me laugh.
You're saying this film is worse than Venom. I disagree strongly. But
really?
The fact that you had your hopes up.
Yeah, everyone was waiting for this, man. Because Eddie Murphy was like rumored to come back to comedy and this and that. By the way, Eddie should not come back to stand-up comedy. Everyone says, yo, he's got to do it, man. He's going to be the bomb. He's going to be the goat. Nah, you've missed the boat, mate. Don't worry about it. It's a different world.
Goat on the boat.
Exactly. So it's all shit. And also, even just the way it's written, it just doesn't make any sense. That character would not be an asshole like this.
Yeah, they did strive very hard. I do remember that.
A sexist fuckhole. And it's like, he's supposed to be the progressive one. So anyway, it became a bit girl powery and bullshitty. I don't care about that. It's overall a shit film. Just never watch this thing.
All right, there we go. That's our list. We're going to give you some quick dishonorable mentions, but we won't spend too long on them, Wayne. Anything else you wanted to draw people's attention to is to be wary of. Not quite the worst 10, but still pretty shit.
I toyed with putting Candyman on the list.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, that's what I thought I'd do.
Candyman's great.
All right, fine. I even thought about putting Eternals on the list. It's not that bad.
It's not that bad.
And then I had the little things as well.
Okay. I had, as mentioned, The Marksman. I had three demonic possession films in different ways.
What a shock.
The Unholy with Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Okay.
And then Guy Pearce in The Seventh Day. All god-awful films.
What's Guy Pearce doing these days, mate? He does Iron Man 3, then he just stays in Australia.
He's doing the blood, what's her name? Melisandre from Game of Thrones.
Fantastic.
Carice Van Houten, I think that's her name.
Go with God, Guy.
And did I say Demonic? Demonic is Neil Blomkamp's latest film.
Oh, it's actually called Demonic.
Piece of shit. And yeah, I talk about...
Oh, really? Neil Blomkamp's doing a piece of shit now again?
I talk about it in our best and worst of horror.
Oh, dear.
Another film I talk about on that one is Nobody Sleeps in the Woods Tonight 2, which is a Polish horror film straight to Netflix. Willy's Wonderland I mentioned. And then lastly, Separation. Again, mostly these are horror films because I should just stop doing it to myself.
Wait, did you put Willy's Wonderland?
Yeah,
so you really hate it?
Yeah, that's in my worst 17 films.
That's a piece of shit for sure, but I was like, it's more interesting than what he usually does.
Well, it's not as bad as Prisoners of the Ghostland, that was a real disappointment to me. I thought that was going to be great, and I was just really left disappointed. So,
are you looking forward to the one he's doing, which is
the Unbearable Weight of Talent?
Are you looking forward to that?
I don't look forward to any Nicolas Cage film anymore.
His hair is weird.
I'll just watch it and see if I'm entertained, and hopefully I will be, but I don't expect to be.
Fair enough.
All right, what about your list then? We wrap up every episode of the podcast with your feedback on the topic at hand in a segment that we call the Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Kicking off this week's worst of the year list from you, the listeners, is Jared, a patron to the show. Jared said, worst of the year, Godzilla versus Kong, number 3.
Oh, really?
Number 2, Venom, 100% agree. Sure. And number 1, Space Jam 2.
Okay.
There we go, Jared. Adelaide Spence said, The Map of Tiny Perfect Things. Haven't seen that one.
Hmm.
The Boss Baby 2, Family Business. Yeah, I can guess from seeing the trailer. And number 1, Don't Look Up. Fuck that movie. Wow.
We'll talk. We'll talk about that. I can't believe you think that.
Ooh, I can't believe you think that. Damn. Daniel Hendo Henderson from the IMDb Journey podcast. Number 3, Infinite, infinitely shit. Number 2, The Conjuring 3, absolute snooze fest. I do agree. And number 1, The Kissing Booth 3, not sure what else I expected. That's another Netflix movie.
Okay, wow.
Justin Winters from the Sorry Made a Movie Geek podcast. Good to hear from you. Justin said, I double dare anyone to find a worse 2021 film than this one, Swim, starring Joey Lawrence. Like Crawl, but with 1/100th the budget and creativity. Looks like another shark film. I'm going to have to do it.
Of course. And by the way, Joey Lawrence is from Blossom.
Right.
And it goes like this. Whoa.
Oh, that's how he does it.
Yeah, Joey, Lawrence.
Is that what he's going? Never watched that show.
Of course you didn't. Why would you? You're not me.
Troy's been another patron to the show. He said, number 3, Blood Red Sky. I like Blood Red Sky, Troy.
What's that?
What the hell? It's a vampire on a plane movie.
Sounds great.
Number 2, Army of the Dead.
Ooh, hated that one.
Number 1, Godzilla vs. Kong. Now, what I normally, I didn't actually say this at the start of the episode, what I normally do is I restrict it to the 10 film worst films that had cinematic release.
Yeah.
I didn't do that this year. I just went with 10 worst films.
Obviously with those fucking shitty-ass fucking horrors.
Had I done the 10 worst films that had cinematic release, Godzilla vs. Kong would absolutely have been on my list for sure.
Do you know, I can't remember what I said about it, but I remember being impressed at the scale. Oh, wait, now I remember what happened. Yeah, shit. Okay.
John Amenta from the Pilot Comics podcast. The boys will be on the show in a couple of weeks' time. Malignant. Fuck this corny, cheap-looking piece of garbage. I'm shocked it wasn't on your list.
Fair.
Halloween Kills. Evil Dies Tonight. I hope this franchise follows after this.
Boom.
And 8-Bit Christmas. This looked like fun. It was not. I haven't watched that one.
No idea what that is.
Joey DiCarlo from the Soulways podcast said, Home Sweet Home Alone, completely unnecessary in total drizzling shits.
Oh, was it? I was not interested. But
Snake Eyes, colon, G.I. Joe, Origins, colon. Oh, no, sorry. The last colon was before he spits. Action scene so poorly shot, I thought the director was having a seizure. I can't remember if this was this year or last year. Either way, it was terrible. Good
call. You know, I just thought of something?
What?
You can put 2 colons in a movie title, and for you it would be M:I:2. It actually works. That works.
Bet that one might have to bring it up just for that reason.
Uh-huh.
And number 1, The Matrix Resurrections. Antagonistic towards its audience, creatively bankrupt, terribly shot, terribly acted, terribly written, and most damning of all, with zero memorable or well-constructed action scenes. This fails on every single level. No. Very nice. Like the Venom, Joey. Love it indeed. Brianna Petty said, Space Jam, New Legacy took a shit on my childhood. Dan Breaks from the Netflix and Spool podcast said Halloween Kills, and I know he hates that film so much because Gerald from 2Ps on a podcast made him watch all the Halloweens and recorded about it. Can you imagine the pain that Dan went through
there? I can. Sorry, man. I'm sorry that happened to you.
Smile Samani said number 3, Red Notice. What unfunny dross. Yeah.
Which one was Red Notice?
With The Rock and Rai Rai.
Oh, it wasn't that bad. It was fine.
It was pretty terrible. Yeah, okay. Number 2, Tomorrow War. What utterly predictable, boring dross. And The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard. Number 1, what absolutely unentertaining, unfunny piece of shit dross.
Bite your tongue.
Chris Uni, patron to the show, had Righteous Blood, just short of perfect, and his worst goddamn thing, Cosmic Sin.
Nice one.
And then the other competitor after Jared in this week's Countdown Trivia podcast, Itchion. I got that right?
Itchion.
Itchion.
Yeah.
Philion, I told you to get it wrong again. Philion Survey said, number 3, Nightmare Alley. I'm looking forward to that. That's Guillermo del Toro's next movie.
You're digging on that one, aren't you?
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I haven't seen it.
Oh, it hasn't released it yet.
Yeah. Number 2, Dear Evan Hansen. Number 1, Music. I think that might be Sia's movie, which has got widely.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that it was a piece of shit.
Yeah. Brad Hargis from the Cinema Guys podcast. Number 3, Spencer and the Whisper Talking Case You.
It's
about Diana, the movie.
Oh! Yeah.
Sorry, Gerald, he had there. Number 2, Old. I felt I aged as much as they did in this film after watching this film. And number 1, Space Jam, New Legacy. I hated this film so much, I put it out of my mind when I made my original list.
That's going to be a win. That's going to be a win for Space Jam. Everyone hates it.
And then last one, to wrap it up today, in the worst 10 films of the year list, from Matthew Hardinger, said, Many Saints of Newark, not a Sopranos movie. Cry Macho, not a Macho Eastwood movie. And Tom and Jerry, not anywhere near the original sadistic cartoon. There are so many honorable mentions that the Countdown team saved me from by their reviews. Paul and Wayne wasted their time and saved mine. Thanks, gents.
That's all we want. That's all we want.
That's all we're looking to do. Entertain and save you some pain, or indeed steer you towards next week's show, which, Wayne, is
the top 10 films of 2021.
Next week, we want to talk about all the films that wowed us in whatever particular way. Mm-hmm. I know I went on record about 6 or 8 weeks ago saying, what a terrible, terrible year. I think I say that every year.
No, you said every year.
But my last month did rescue my list to some degree. I think the last 5 or 6 weeks I saw some good films.
I think it's interesting that you've got this sort of the dearth of like the 2020 when we all production stopped for a while. You've seen what trickles through here and then you still get a Spider-Man every now and then. You know, it's like that's, yeah, it's up there.
We'll see. We'll see next week. But thank you so much for joining us today, Wayne. How do the listeners give us their feedback on that topic or indeed feedback on this episode or indeed anything to do with film and TV?
Google the Countdown Podcast and find all our socials or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We're on Twitter at TheCountdownPC. You can like and follow the show through Podbean where we host and check out the Facebook list community, aforementioned links in the show notes if you want to get involved in all the discussions and indeed give us your feedback on the topics at hand. And that's it for today. Thank you so much for joining us for...
It's a show.
It's a big one, this one.
That's right.
We hope we have helped you out or indeed made you feel less shit about what you've watched.
Or just made you laugh. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, that one too. That and Liam Neeson's cock, we hope.
That's right.
That wouldn't make anyone laugh except in horror.
Oh, I'm scared. I'm scared now. I'm scared and greasing up.
Loud, my apologies for that. That's it from us today. My name is Paul.
My name's Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
You just did The Soundboard, slut.
I fart in your gender direction.
Wayne, for that comment, and the filmmakers behind all the films we've discussed today. We'll catch you next time. See ya.
See ya.
Then, without any further ado, let's get into the segment which kicks off every show. It's called...
Oh, good, you'll have a blooper.